I am Tiffany Bradbury. I'm the Community Risk Reduction Specialist and Public Information Officer for the Roanoke Fire EMS Department. And basically what we've done today is we have come together as a community and as the Roanoke Valley, all in one place to let our community know that we are here for you and we're planning and kind of to let you know in a nutshell what we're doing and what we want the community to do as well. So I'm going to start with Battalion Chief Marcy Stone. She's the Emergency Manager for the City of Roanoke, and she's just going to kind of give you a brief of what we're expecting right now, the things that we have heard from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management and the National Weather Service, and what the City of Roanoke kind of wants our public to do to keep themselves safe. Chief Stone?
Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning. We thought it was important to get all of our regional partners together to talk about the efforts that we're taking toward mitigation, preparedness, response, and recovery if this storm were to hit the Roanoke Valley, and particularly the Southwest Virginia region. We've partnered together today with Roanoke City, Roanoke County, Salem, Botetourt, Craig, Franklin, Bedford, Benton, and other partners from Region 6 of Virginia Department of Emergency Management to ensure that we're ramped up and ready for the effects of the storm. We're asking citizens that they take action now to mitigate any flood hazards that they may have around their home, to know whether they set in a floodplain or not, to check their flood insurance policies and ensure that they're covered. We're also asking citizens to be prepared, that you need to be self-sufficient for at least 72 hours without emergency response capabilities in case your home were to be isolated because of the storm effects. We're asking that people prepare themselves, their families, and their pets for the effects of the storm. If we were to need to open a shelter in the region, our partners have worked together with Red Cross to ensure that a shelter is available for not only yourself, but your pets, and we'll release that information after we start to see the effects of the storm come through the valley. We want to ask that you get a kit, stay informed, and stay aware of the current conditions. We ask that you only use 911 services for a life-threatening emergency following this storm. So I'm going to turn it over to Tiffany now. She's going to call up all of our various partners. We have a wide range of partners in the room. Some will be speaking today, others will not, but understand that we're doing our part to ensure that you're safe.
Thank you, Chief Stone. And now we're going to have Chief David Hoback. He's the Chief of Roanoke Fire EMS, and he's going to let you know what the Fire EMS Department is preparing for in the City of Roanoke. And I do ask all our speakers to make sure you're projecting out so everyone can hear you.
Thank you, Tiffany. Like Tiffany said, my name is Dave Hoback. I'm the Chief of Roanoke Fire EMS, and I really want to echo what Chief Stone said. As we go through this next 72, 96-hour period, and we start feeling the effects of Florence, it's going to be vital that our community do not call 911 unnecessarily. Historically, they call us for our power outages. They call us for stuff that really are non-emergencies, and that really will be a lifesaver for us to keep our apparatus in service. But from the City of Roanoke Fire EMS Department, we are partnering with the City of Salem and Roanoke County. We want to make sure that our services that are provided, that we look at all the benchmarks and being able to accommodate that. We are going to go first start with our floodplain and notify our communities that are most affected at risk. The areas in our community that we know historically flood, we'll be going out and doing door-to-door canvassing and talking to those individuals or putting notices on their doors so that they can be prepared should we have a significant flood event. Second of all, we're going to start looking at our staffing profile, and based on what we're anticipating as far as rain and impact of the storm, we will staff up, bring more apparatus on, ambulances, fire trucks. Our swift water teams will be staffed up 24/7 and be available for response. We are not sending our teams outside the Roanoke Valley. We've been asked by VDM whether we were going to do that, but based on what we're seeing and modeling of the effects of Florence coming to Roanoke, we're keeping our resources here in Roanoke for our responses. Third, we're going to make sure that on the backside of this, that we're available to support our citizens as necessary from the effects of the storm. Emphasizing that as we start preparing for this, we're looking at not only just what the City of Roanoke has to offer, we're going to partner with the City of Salem and Roanoke County. I worked through the flood of 85, so I know how if we get the amount of rain that is potential, it'll isolate parts of our community. So we want to make sure that we acquire assets from Roanoke County, and they can use our assets as we may be isolated, not be able to respond across some of the bridges and things of that nature. So as we start moving forward and looking at what the modeling is going to show and how we need to ramp up, we will make those adjustments accordingly. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief Hoback. Now we have Chief John Prilliman. He's with Salem Fire EMS.
Good morning. A lot of what I'm going to do is echo a lot of what Chief Hoback said. In the city of Salem, we've been monitoring. We've been participating on a lot of conference calls, having a lot of meetings both with our staff in the city and also with our regional partners in the state. What we did yesterday was review a lot of lessons learned from both the flood of 85 and other flood events, start looking at where our vulnerable areas are, and again, piggybacking on Chief Hoback, we're going to reach out to those individuals that were affected by those previous floods and kind of give them a warning to be on the lookout. Not an evacuation, just a warning. We are working with our public works and law enforcement for our staffing levels for the weekend. We're definitely monitoring the forecast as it seems like it changes a bit, but we also know that it could change right back toward us, so we're studying that. We are, as Chief Hoback said, with our Swift Water team, we're going to be deploying our Swift Water teams into Roanoke City, into Roanoke County, in the city of Salem, but we'll be doing it together so that we know when Roanoke City's team goes out not to rely on them, but they also know that they can have us backing them up. So a lot of what we're doing is preparing for the worst, hoping for the best. So that's what we're asking our citizens to do. Prepare for the worst now, but hope for the best. So thank you.
Thank you, Chief Prilliman. Now we have Chief Steve Simon. He's with Roanoke County Fire and Rescue.
Thank you, Tiffany. I'd like to echo all the other chief officers. This event could possibly be very significant for us. But since 1985, a tremendous amount of work has gone in it by all the local governments to reduce flood mitigation. So we are looking forward to having a robust response because of the regional partnerships. Furthermore, from a Roanoke County standpoint, Roanoke County, all the public safety agencies and all the departments that are involved with Roanoke County and our partners, we have already been planning for this type of event. We are taking initial steps. We are upstaffing all of our units when we know the actual projected course of the hurricane. I feel very confident that we'll be able to respond effectively. Once again, I'd like to thank Roanoke City and City of Salem. They are partners in this. We will support them, and they will support us. And hopefully this will not be a bad event, and we'll get through this okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief Simon. And now we've brought in Deputy Chief Linkus. He's with Vinton Fire EMS.
Good morning. Hate to sound like a broken record, but the same as all the other chiefs have stated today, Town of Vinton is working very closely with our regional partners here with the city, Roanoke City, Roanoke County, Salem. Basically, it's a valley-wide effort, and I'm very proud to be part of this team and be part of this valley because, like I say, if you could know what's going on behind the scenes, it's very impressive of how everybody's pulling together. And I would also like to say from the town's perspective, administrative staff, department heads have been meeting Public Works, Police, Fire and EMS, Emergency Management, Administration to get the town ready and prepared. And again, cannot urge our citizens enough, please prepare yourselves just in case the worst case happens. Hopefully it won't, but sure as the world, if you drop your guard and think it won't happen here, it will times 10. So again, thank you.
Thanks, Chief Linkus. And I also want to remind everyone, we have also been working with Bedford County, Botetourt County, Craig County, Franklin County, and the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. There have been tons of phone calls and lots of things to keep everyone in the loop to keep our community safe. So next I have Chief Tim Jones. He's with Roanoke Police Department.
Just like to underscore what's already been said, we are very fortunate to be in an area where police, fire, and EMS personnel work hand in hand to keep the citizens safe. I think the key component here is reasonableness. Folks, from a public safety perspective, this is when you draw on that social capital and your community watch groups. Make sure you contact each other as best you can. As some power may go out, you may have elderly people who live in your neighborhood. Make sure that we don't forget about them. But on the point of reasonableness, don't put yourself in jeopardy with this type of storm. Like several in the room, I was here in 85. We lost several lives from people who drove through high water. If you're not sure you can get through it, you shouldn't. Don't try it. Do not try to drive through a bridge where the water's flowing over it and you think you can do it. That's how you lose your life. That's what utilizes a lot of resources and fire and EMS and law enforcement. There's always somebody who thinks it's a recreational type event when the river gets up and you put your canoe or your kayak in the river and they believe it'll be fun, only to find themselves on a rock somewhere in the middle of the Roanoke River. Please don't be that person. Don't put fire EMS police officers' lives in jeopardy because you failed to use good, sound, reasonable judgment. Make sure you've got at least 3 days of provisions. We don't know how much of our infrastructure we may be without over any given period of time. There are 140 police chiefs in the city right now from all across the state. They began yesterday leaving the area to get back to the Eastern Shore to do the very thing that we are doing here today. Naturally, they'll get impacted greater. We also know that many people are leaving North Carolina, coming to this area, seeking hotel accommodations to kind of get out of the storm track. So if you're thinking about leaving a low-lying area and trying to get to a hotel room, you better make preparations today because there may not be a vacancy somewhere. We are also responsible for the well-being of our animals and our pets. We do have a limited emergency evacuation shelter for animals. It is limited. Probably no more than about 30 animals can get in that particular trailer, but it will be available. Likewise, 3 days of supplies for your animals. Make sure their collars are on, they have ID tags. I would suggest even taking a photograph of your pet in the event it does get out and someone finds that it will aid our people in reuniting you with that animal after the crisis is over. Again, I'd like to underscore reasonableness, folks. Please don't put yourself or other people in jeopardy. Going to see the high water or seeing how many lines are down, if you don't have to be out, please don't be out. We'll get through this.
All right, thanks very much, Chief. And that's good information, those warnings to heed there. Next I have is Sonia Roman. She is with the E911 Center, and she's going to let you know kind of what their plans are and some information about when to call 911 and when not to call 911.
Good morning. And some of what I'm going to say you've heard from the various individuals that have spoken already. 911 Center is a communications hub for an event of this nature. We not only will receive calls from the citizens, but we also receive information from our police, fire EMS, our public works, emergency management. We will give information to them and receive information from them. So what we are doing is we are currently taking a proactive approach and working with our city counterparts to ensure we are adequately prepared to provide emergency services to our community. We are doing our best to ensure our staffing levels are sufficient to handle 911 calls to the public and provide our support that they need, fire, EMS, and police, and our counterparts need. Should our area experience power outage, we would like to remind our citizens to please call AEP and reserve 911 for emergencies only. If there is a medical emergency, we want you to call 911. If there's a crime that you need to report, definitely call 911, but reserve 911 for emergencies only. And we will make sure that we put out information on social media and all those various outlets to ensure you know where the resources are so that you will refrain from calling 911 if it's a non-emergency situation. Thank you.
Thanks, Sonia. And now we're going to have Teresa Hamilton Hall. She's with AEP.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here and to speak this morning. I'm Teresa Hamilton Hall with Appalachian Power, and I'm joined by my colleague, John Shepelwich.
John, you can step forward. Come with me. We have a joint message that we would like to share with you. As everyone in this room has been doing for well over a week, we've been tracking the path of this storm. And as a company, we are prepared for the possibility of power outages due to the potential for the heavy rain and also for the high winds. As all of you know in this room, the soil is saturated and it won't take hardly any wind at all for trees to topple into the power lines, take out the power. And so we as a company are very much prepared and worried about the potential for outages. Because we are concerned, we want our customers to also be prepared. We want them to know that that restoration times could be extended, because if the roads are flooded and you have trees that have fallen and are across the road, it makes passage very difficult. If emergency officials can't get through, customers can't get through to their own homes, we certainly can't get through the floodwaters as well with the heavy equipment that we have to travel with. So we want customers to know that we are on standby. All of our employees and our contractor workers are on alert and ready to travel to the affected areas. In addition to that, our company management has also secured additional resources from our other operating companies, and they are prepared to come in and to help with restoration efforts as well.
And now we're going to move to some of our other community partners that we know have a vested interest in keeping our community safe and what they're going to be doing. We're going to start with Jackie Grant. She's with the American Red Cross.
Thank you, Tiffany. The American Red Cross encourages its citizens to get a kit, make a plan, and stay informed, and heed the warning of your local officials. The Red Cross is working closely with the partners to ensure that we have the resources necessary to respond to any scenario that may come about. We continue to talk to our emergency preparedness and anticipate and plan and respond. We are working with the Red Cross network across our region to identify volunteers, supplies, and vehicles so we can be ready when and when there's an impact. The Red Cross nationally is pre-positioning disaster supplies and emergency officials and requesting for possible response areas. Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie. And we can't say enough good things about the Red Cross, just what they do for us on a daily basis with house fires. So I know they stand ready to help our community. And Captain Monica Seiler with the Salvation Army, she's going to let you know what the Salvation Army has planned.
Good morning, everybody. The Salvation Army has coming into the area today 7 different mobile feeding units, which all those units together have the capacity to feed about 10,000 meals a day. They are currently being staged in Roanoke, and they will probably move out to other areas that need them unless we need them here. So we are planning here in our local region to serve food in areas that will be isolated. There will be a phone number available. We encourage you to call 211 if you are in an area and do not have food. If anybody would like to volunteer, we are also encouraging them to call 211. So the Salvation Army is standing by and is ready to serve to help keep our community safe.
Thank you, Captain Seiler. And I know we spoke with Allison Jorgensen, from 211, and she did say that they were being inundated with calls from 211. So definitely call them, but understand that it might take a while for them to answer the call. And also, as far as volunteers go, that's something that we'll be working through over the next few days. So next I have Lee Clark, and he's with the Rescue Mission.
Thank you, Tiffany, and thanks for having us this morning. Our first priority with the Rescue Mission is keeping those folks who are with us safe. Last night we had 271 people, men, women, and children, who were there and sheltered at the mission. We want to make sure that they are safe and well cared for. In addition to that, anyone else who may present themselves over these next days, we're going to be there 24/7 for those who might come to our door. That keep in mind, that means about 600 meals a day, so we're making sure that all of our supplies are in place with water and other materials. In the event the power goes out, we're making sure that we can prepare those meals without the support of electricity, as well as the medications for our guests that are coming through our doors in shelter. We're working with our partners, with the homeless assistance team, with Ram House and others, to ensure emergency shelter and day shelters are available for people who are homeless in our community, so no one's on the street during the storm. And would welcome your input and advice and partnership. And so thank you for having us. And just reach out to us if there's anything that we can do during this time. If you do run across someone who may be homeless, who needs our assistance, please give us a call. Our number is 540-343-7227, and again, we'll be here 24/7 to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee, so much. And now we're going to talk to two other folks that are here within the city of Roanoke that have some really important information to share with you. First, it's going to be Stephanie Long, and she's with Roanoke Parks and Recreation. I'm going to make her come all the way from the back of the room. And then after that, we'll have Dwayne Darden. He's with Stormwater Management. And then Chief Hoback and Mayor Lee will be rounding out the conference, okay?
Thank you. Stephanie Long with Roanoke Parks and Recreation. Just very quickly, wanted to let you all know that we will be increasing our tree crews for the aftermath to help clear debris as quickly as possible. And then also, we know that once this is over, people will be very anxious to get outside. We'd like to remind people to stay off of our athletic fields and trails to kind of let those things dry out a little bit before we start to recreate on them. And that's pretty much all we have. So thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. And now, Dwayne, if you want to come up, and he has got some great information specifically for business owners.
Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate the opportunity here. And thank you to everybody for being here today. A couple of things that we're working on as a stormwater utility. There are 9,500 storm drain inlets throughout the city. We're doing our due diligence to clean as many of those as possible. If you know of, however, one in front of your property that needs to be cleaned with a shovel or a rake or a broom, certainly feel free to go out and clean that, because with 9,500, we may or may not get to everything, and you can certainly help protect yourself by doing that. The other thing we want to mention for homeowners in particular, if you don't know if your home is in a floodplain or a floodway, use the city's GIS to do that. It's a very simple thing. You can call our office, and we will walk you through that. That number is 853-5900. If you do know that you're in a floodplain, check your flood insurance. If you haven't done that recently, be sure to do that. That was mentioned earlier. The other thing I wanted to mention was, let's talk a little bit about the flood of 85 for just a minute. So the flood of 85 finished with a week of rain from Hurricane Juan that ended with 6.61 inches of rain within 24 hours. That is the flood of record. That is still remains the 24-hour record of rainfall. So what has been done since the flood of 85? The Roanoke River Flood Reduction Project has been completed. That's a $72 million project that has increased the flood conveyance capacity through the city of Roanoke, and that will help through this storm. The other thing that the city has done, the city has spent over $6 million acquiring 114 low-lying properties within the city that are in the floodway or floodplain. That will help limit damage from storms if it comes our way. And lastly, I'd just like to mention downtown for just a brief minute. So in 2016, there were three flood events downtown, all of which occurred as the result of extreme thunderstorm events, one of which was 2.24 inches of rain in 50 minutes. So that's less than an hour, 2.24 inches of rain. What most folks don't remember about 2016 is we also had the remnants of Hurricane Matthew that came through that dropped. It was five and a quarter inches of rain in 36 hours. We didn't have any flooding downtown as the result of that flood event. Even though it was heavy rain, 5 1/4 inches, 36 hours, no flooding downtown. Now, depending upon what comes our way, we don't know. Nobody can accurately predict that. But what we are doing is working our due diligence, cleaning everything that we can clean, responding to everything we can respond, working for, hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dwayne. And then Chief Hoback wants to come up here and address you guys one more time, and then we're going to have Sherman, Mayor Lee, and then we'll open it up to just a few questions if you all have any additional questions. Chief Hoback.
Thanks, Tiffany. After hearing the individual speak, I just want to talk on one topic. The generators in the Roanoke Valley are gone. They're all sold out. And one of the bigger problems we have with these type of events is the generators being set up in an enclosed environment and not being hooked up correctly. And the ladies and gentlemen from the AEP can really attest to this.
If you have a home generator, make sure it's properly connected and properly ventilated. Do not put it in your basement. Do not put it on your back porch with your door open. We have had, when we had the derecho event, people that were overcome with carbon monoxide. So if you're using a home generator, it needs to be properly connected and properly ventilated. We do not want to come out to your house and have some of your loved ones that are overcome and become ill because of that. So thank you.
Thanks, Chief. And now I'd like to ask Mayor Sherman Lee to come up and just kind of wrap everything up for us.
Thank you, Mayor. Tiffany. Let me say to all of our citizens out there, this is a life-threatening storm. I've talked to some people, and they talk about sitting it out, riding it out. We've seen floodwaters. This storm is a strong storm, the likes of which we haven't seen in a while. So I'm proud of us coming together, Chief Hoback and the chiefs in Salem and Roanoke County, and all of us coming. This community has come together to put a plan in place. But our citizens have to be willing to follow those instructions. You must be willing to follow those instructions, or this could be something that could occur that we haven't seen in a while. And this is a major storm. So thank everybody for what we're going to do. I feel that if we continue to work together, we can make the best of this situation. So thank you, Tiffany, and thank you, Chief, and others for bringing this together. I do want to recognize my colleagues on City Council who are here because we're concerned about public safety, Vice Mayor Joe Cobbs and Councilman Bill Bestridge. All right? God bless you. Thank you so much.